Morning.
You can see everyone out. We are slim this morning. Got people still missing from the fall break and different things and people working. So we seem like we have something all the time keeping us apart, but are ready for us all to get back in church and get to going forward. But I brought some cards with me today as we had Pastor Appreciation, or y'all did, for me last Sunday. And I got several cards, but these was some good ones. All of them was good ones, but I was going through them through the week and just looking, and you begin to see a lot of things that the young ones notice as they look at me up here and for y'all. I got one that says, thank you for being a good preacher, and I got one that had some notes on it here. Thank you for preaching. I'm trying to get to the one y'all going to like. One of them drawed me and made me look tall the way they drew, and they said, P.S., you can thank me for making you look tallish. So had some really good ones. That's a picture of the church. This is, let's see. Yeah, this one's not it, but this is a good one also. So I'm going to get there. And this one, this is it. P.S., you're welcome for making me for making you look tallish. And as they was drawing the crowd, I began noticing something about y'all. They realized what y'all are too. Because some of y'all's stick is wider than the other. Some of you's just a straight stick, and some of you got a little, you don't believe me, look. And I think this one's Derek. It's just a straight line. But no, I really appreciate it. Means a lot. Those young ones appreciate. I think Michaela had to make them. So thank you, and means a lot. Last Sunday was our start of our brand new church year. Excited to get going. Got a lot of exciting opportunities starting. For those of y'all not usually with us, we're starting a cancer ministry here, New Harmony. Today will be our first meeting of training for it. And we had said we're going to try to have some refreshments, but we're going to start that next week. We'll all meet and go to a restaurant somewhere tonight, probably Jack's, if we usually do what we usually do after our cancer ministry lesson. So come out and be with us. It'll be a great time of fellowship and learn how to minister to those with cancer, or the caregivers, or any part of cancer. We want to be able to help through our church. So, and if it hasn't touched your family, you're one of the few, because most families in our church have been touched by cancer. Right now, I wouldn't even know how to start, how many we've got as I speak right now that's touched by it, but several. So I ask you to be much in prayer for that. By the way, a prayer request, there was a 10-year-old boy that got killed on a side-by-side up in Tallapoosa Friday, I'm not sure, I can't remember which day now. A good friend of mine has asked prayer as he'll be doing his funeral Tuesday. But I ask you to remember the little boy's parents, of course. Remember his friends. He was an active baseball player, played a lot of sports. He was a big deer hunter. Georgia wildlife people has recognized him on Facebook and stuff. So his family is devastated. As I talked to Joey this morning, he was there and said the family was just what you expect, was distraught in the hospital. So I ask you to remember them and pray for comfort, as we can't even understand this. Doesn't make any sense to us, but God's way is perfect. So pray for that family. And I know we've got many others. Any prayer requests that we will make known this morning? Anybody? No others. I do ask you to remember our church. Remember each other as we go out through this church year and try to become what God's called us to be this year at New Harmony. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us again to come back and worship you, a day of life that we get to be alive, God, and we thank you for it. Lord, we ask you to be in our service this morning. God, we ask you to touch our singers, touch as I come to preach. God, put your words in my mouth that I may preach what's pleasing unto you. And Father, this young boy that has died on this accident, God, we ask that you comfort his family. Lord, we can't make sense of this, but we know your ways and we trust your ways perfect. And we ask you to be with his parents, be with his friends, be with his church, and all those. Bless Brother Joey as he preaches the funeral, and the other ones that may have a part in it. God, we ask you for words for them. And God, that something that's said might help in some way comfort that hurting family. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to be with those the cancer ministries. We start our training today. God, I pray that each soul that comes for that training will have a heart for it. God, you'll increase their desire to serve, not just serve those people, but to serve you. And God, I thank you for our church and giving us a brand new church year. And I ask that this year will be the best that we've had in the whole history of this community. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Everyone stand, please.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. The nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. till love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet under.
Oh,
through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son. Jesus our Savior, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you.
Appreciate the opportunity to be able to come this morning. Excited about the message. Been praying for this all week, and was looking at my phone this morning, and something on Facebook popped up from A.W. Tozier. Some of y'all like his page. You'll know you get quotes occasionally on there, and it was exactly what the sermon is about. And you see things like that, and kind of gives you a little insurance, knowing that you're doing the right thing, maybe. But the question this morning is, do you want to know the real you? Do you want to know the real you? And the thing that A.W. Tozier on his quote was this morning is that we give bad advice a lot of times. We give our children bad advice. We give other people bad advice. How many times have you heard someone say, if you're about a decision, they tell you just to follow your heart? That is wrong. That is wrong. Jeremiah tells us we can't follow our own heart. Our hearts. I'm going to show you some things that comes out of your heart and show you why this morning that you can't even follow your heart. You must follow the Word of God. You must follow the leading of God, which comes from the Word of God in prayer. That's what must lead us this morning. And I thought about how many times have I been guilty of saying this same thing. Lord, I just follow my heart. Somebody asked you why you did something, why you feel called to something. Well, that's just where my heart's leading. Or that's what I feel like my heart's telling me to do. But we can't trust that this morning. It is wicked. The Bible teaches us. In Psalms 139, if you'll turn your Bibles over to Psalms 139, we're going to start with the last two verses, but we'll eventually be in all of Psalms 139. But it's very familiar probably to you. It's a Psalm of David. And in this Psalm down here in verse 19 through 24, David's talking to God about his enemies and about how he hates the enemies of God. And David wanted to know, I believe, that he was right in every situation and how his heart stood before God, no matter what the circumstance may be. And you begin to think, well, surely that God must be pleased with David when he was hating the enemies of God. And surely that seems right. But David wanted God to search him and to make sure that his heart was right before God. I wonder today, how many of us even care if our heart is right before God? The Bible tells us there's a way which seems right unto man, but the end of it is death. Every single one of us has a way that we think is right. We all do. We have a way, even morally, physically, whatever it is, or whatever it is, you have a way you think is right. But honestly, we don't know what right is. We must allow God to search us. And I want you to see this morning that David did this. And if you'll search the life of David, you'll find out that David was a great warrior. He was a great warrior. He was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. But also, out of David's heart came some evil things. David was guilty of adultery. David was guilty of lying many times. He was a flat-out liar. He would lie to try to get his way. Does that sound familiar to anybody? That's about all of us, ain't it? At times he was covetous. There was times when he was at weak. He would be weak. There was times when, of course, we know with Bathsheba was adultery, and then he had her husband killed, so he was guilty of murder. And out of that very heart that he was asking God to search, come some despicable things. So this morning, I believe we can truly say that we cannot trust our heart. We can't trust it. So if you want to know the real you, you must allow God to search your heart and find what's in that thing and show you. Now listen. In the first part of this psalm, David was asking God to search him and wanting God to know. But in the last part, David wants God to show him what was in his heart. This morning, my friend, if you don't want to know what's in your heart, I may tell you, do not ask God. Do not get in your word and try to find what's in your heart because you're going to be discouraged. You're going to get upset. Your ego is going to be hurt because you're going to find out that you are a wicked, wicked being. And the only hope you got is Jesus Christ. The only hope you have to stand before an almighty, holy God is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart and life because the Bible says that none's good, no, not one. Now, I know I say that that applies to teenagers. I say that's what God meant when he wrote that verse, but actually it's to all of us. There's none good, not even one. You can search the whole earth over, and besides Jesus Christ, there's never been a man walk foot of this earth that was any count. His righteousness with God was as filthy rags. Jesus is the only one. He fulfilled all everything for us. And only through him do we have righteousness. And I about preached it and ain't even read it. But listen, in Psalms 39, if you would stand right quickly. Psalms 39, verse 23 and verse 24. Listen to what it says. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Father, we thank you for this word this morning. God, I ask you to touch hearts. I ask you to search hearts. God, show us this morning who we are. Show us what we're lacking. God, show us what's wrong with us. God, that we may be better. God, lead us in the way everlasting when we come to the end of this. I pray you lead every man. I pray you show every man, woman, boy, or girl, the sound of my voice, how they stand with you and where their heart stands this morning. And God, I ask as we come to the invitation time that you allow them and lead them in a way to their life everlasting. For God, you're the only way. Jesus is the only way of salvation. No matter what year you're in, no matter what year to go through, he will always remain the only way. And Jesus, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Job chapter 31, verse 6, basically tells us the same thing. It says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. Now listen, you may hide from me every bad thing about you, and I can hide from you every bad thing about me, because there is plenty to find out. If you don't believe me, you just ask my wife or Pat. Either one of them will tell you some bad things. But listen, God knows the hearts of man. God knows all about your heart. He knows the very intents of your heart. You cannot hide anything from Him. You can hide stuff from your family. You can hide stuff very easily in today's times. All of our computers, all of our cell phones have got a little button on it just for sinners. You know what it's called? Delete. Boy, don't we wish that we could do that. In life, all the time, don't we wish we could just hit delete sometimes? But listen, it'll always come back up. They tell me, and I don't know much about computers, but I'm sure that Corey and Jonathan could lighten us a little bit, but just because you hit delete on that thing, don't mean it's ever gone. I think it may be forever traceable on the hard drive of a computer. But listen, many times we tend to use that button when we things we shouldn't be about. But listen, it tells us here, in the first part of this, David was wanting God to search me. Search me. Listen, that's what he asked God to do. The word search here is a word in the Hebrew and Greek meaning to explore a land, to explore a new land. Can you imagine when they first come over to America, how exciting it was to search out a brand new land? Or if you've ever moved anywhere new, which I haven't, but I've been places new and I've got to search them and find out about them. That's what David asked of God. He said, God, search my heart and know what's inside that thing. I want you to find out everything about it. It even meant to investigate a matter. He wanted God to investigate his heart. How many of us here this morning truly wants God to investigate our heart? How many truly wants to know everything that's inside your heart? My friend, you better want to know it, because listen, it's important. I want to show you that. But it's going to hurt a little bit when you do that, because you're going to find something that you are in a mess. You're in a mess. You see, we want God to do something that we can't even do. We want God to search our hearts because we can't even do that. Because we cannot see what we are. We truly cannot see what we are. I know we're guilty of saying nobody knows what they are but their own selves, and that's true to a certain extent. But my friend, there have been people committed crimes that never thought they was capable of committing that crime. There's people in jail right now for child molestation that did not believe they was capable of doing that thing. There's people in jail for murder that did not believe they was capable of murder. There's people all things, and you know why they was capable of that? Because they was created a human being, and God created that thing perfect, and in the fall of man, Satan put inside of that fall. After that fall, men became sinful beings. And from that, the heart is deceitfully wicked, and it's got all these wicked things in it that was there from the flesh, that come from that old serpent. And the only way that thing can ever be healed is by the almighty touch of Jesus Christ when that blood's applied to that heart. It's the only way it can be clean. Job said, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God might know mine integrity. Oh, me. We can't even do this on our own because we don't even know what's in our, what we're looking for. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. You're going to hear this verse a few times today. That a heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh Lord, search the heart. Try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Search the heart. It's deceitfully wicked. It said it's the worst thing in the world. The worst thing that's ever been on the earth probably is not even meth. It's not even alcohol. It's not even cocaine. It's not even cancer or any of these things. The worst thing that's ever been on the earth is the heart of sinful man, because it's where everything else abides from. Now listen, when I say heart, I'm not talking about this thing that's beating right now inside of you. I'm talking about the heart of man is your whole makeup. It involves your soul, involves your mind, involves your spirit. It's a whole makeup of man. It's what it's talking about here. Who you truly are. And if you want God to show you who you truly are, honey, you better hang on, because it's about to get ugly. It's about to get ugly. You remember Peter. What did he tell Jesus? He said, I'll go with you all the way. I'm here for you, Jesus. You ain't got to worry about all the rest of them, but me you have not to worry about. And before the cock crew, what happened? He denied him three times, didn't he? And listen, that was a man who was right beside Christ. And how many times you made deals with God and said, God, I'll do this, this, and this if you'll only get me out of this situation. And then we don't do it. We lie to the very face of God. That's because you have a deceitful heart. And you think you're doing right, but you can't even trust that own heart. So David was begging God to search him.
He's asking God to search and see who he really was. The heart of man consists of his character, his mind, his soul, his spirit, and the very being of who you are. So this morning, for just a little bit, and I'm going to go forward in a minute, but I want you to think, and as I preach this, I want you to ask God to search you. I'm talking about your very being. I'm talking about down the core of what you believe, who you are and everything. I ask you to ask God to search you and show you this morning who you are. I'm not talking about who people think you are. I'm talking about who you are. Who you truly are. He says, search me. Next, he says, show me. Psalms 139, verse 24. He says, and see. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now listen, God didn't have to see. He didn't have to ask God to see that. God can already see it. What this verse meant was David was asking God to show him what was inside his heart that was wrong. Show him what was in there that wasn't right. And make it come to his eyes that he can do something about it. I want you to see for just a minute what can come from your heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 through 20. And I'm going to tell you, if we had seatbelts in here, you might want to put them on. For out of the heart, that means every one of us that has a heart, we've got a makeup. We've got a mind, soul, we're a complete being. And for out of that heart proceed evil thoughts. Has anybody in here ever had an evil thought? You better not raise your hand because I'm not raising mine. But I promise you, you have. You've had have an evil thought. If you're married this morning, bless God, you've had an evil thought. I used to have a pastor, and he'd give his wife, he'd aggravate her so bad. She used to tell us, she said, when we first got married, I prayed to God that if I'd cut his head off, if he'd put it back on. We've all had evil thoughts. Murderers. We preach this all the time, but you're saying, I've never murdered anybody. The Bible says if you hate, that's the same as murder. Adulterers. Boy, stay here for a while. The Bible says if you looked on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. What do we see on all of our TV screens? What do we see on all of our billboards? Hey, it's marketed to get your attention. And you know what gets man's attention? You may be more righteous than me, or you may be lying to yourself, but that gets your attention. If you don't, brother, you need to check up a little bit, probably. But listen, that gets their attention. And people that market this stuff knows that. And listen, it gets your attention. You become prominent. And the Bible says it, the lust takes forth. And then, listen, what comes next? Fornications. Sexual relationships outside of marriage. Ooh. Thefts. Anybody in here stole? Yes, we have. You ever took anything at work that didn't belong to you, whether it was a paper clip or a drink or whatever it may be, and without asking your boss and getting permission, my friend, you have stole. You are a thief, a false witness. We could all fall into that. Blasphemies. Boy, this is talking about a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing person it's describing right here, isn't it? This must be that sinner that's over there in the prison house. This must be that drunkard that's down the road. This must be that man who's having an affair on his wife. This must be that one over there who's addicted to meth or all these other things. No, that's not them, brother. This is you. You have a heart this morning, and it says out of there is what comes from your heart, all these things. It says these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. In other words, these laws that the Jews had, that's not what defiles a man, to eat without washing your hands. What makes a man dirty is his heart. Listen, the moral character we are, it's great to have morals. But listen, the reason you need to get saved today is because you have a deceitful heart. You have a heart that is capable of many things. I have always been able to say this, and thank God, I'm not perfect by no means, but I've always realized something, that I am capable of anything. I used to go to church with a man, the most godly man I had ever met. I served with him on a deacon board. I served with him there, and listen, it come up that a great sin had been committed. And when I heard it, I said, he didn't do it. I said, I've been in his class, he didn't do it. There is no way this thing is possible. There's no way. And listen, I come to find out, I had to hear it from his own lips, but it was possible because it did happen. And you know why it happened? Because his heart was deceitfully wicked. It was put in him. Listen, he's a sinner by nature, and he fell to that thing. And I come to realize at that point, if that man could fall, brother, I am very capable of falling, and you are capable of falling, and all of us are capable because we have inside of us a very wicked thing, which is a deceitful heart. And David wanted to see his. in this list that God gave us in verse 19. Boy, that's some ugly things, wasn't it? There were some ugly, ugly things. Did you notice something about that? Guys, can you go back to 19 without too much trouble? Does anybody see in that list that God put in His Word in verse 19, do you see anything godly in that list? Do you see anything godly about that list? Not a single thing. It's all evil. It's all dark. It's all dreary. It's all bad. And you know why? It's because we're in a lost condition without God. And listen, the only way that anything is ever good and can come out of a good heart is once God has to touch it. Because before He touches it, oh, you don't have any good. You don't have anything about it that's white. All of it is black. There's nothing good about it. And He gives you a whole list. And those are just a few. God could make a list as long as it is from here to Heflin, the city of Heflin, about what is wrong with our hearts. Not one godly thing, it says, comes out of our heart. Not one godly thing. The Bible says, not one man is good. And you know what we're so guilty of, even in our churches? We'll come for 40 and 50 years. We'll sit in the pews. Many will be baptized. Many will be put their name on a church roll. You don't sign anything, but they'll have their name put. They'll join a church, and they think everything is okay because they're a good, moral person. I've never hurt anybody. I've never done any of these things. I've done that. Listen, I didn't say this today, but God says without a touch from Jesus Christ and without receiving Him as your Savior, He says that your heart is full of evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. God is telling you today that besides Jesus Christ being in you, brother, you are a nasty, dirty, vile thing. And you need saving. That's the only hope you've got. That heart. I wish we could have a picture of it, of being absolutely black. And I wish we could see images coming out of it, of what comes out of our hearts, and out of our minds, and out of our beings. Oh, when somebody does us wrong, what's the natural thing to want to do? Revenge. As a Christian, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and take some time, and you have to get that thing right. Because the first thing is that heart begins to work, and you say, I'll get you back, sucker. You may have did this to me, but I'll get you back. And the first thing it is, when somebody says something you don't like, you'll do something. And the best thing we do at churches, we've really got it down in churches. If somebody hurts our feeling in churches, guess what we do? We go start a brand new one. Or we go down the road, we do this because, listen, I ain't putting up with that. I'll get your revenge back. I'll show you. And you know why this stuff happens? Because we have deceitful hearts. Out of the heart, not one single godly thing. The prayer from David was not that David know his heart, but God show him. For God knows our being from even before anything in this universe was created. Listen at Psalms 139, 118. This is going to be long, but you've got to get this. This is why God knows our heart. Verse 1, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything about you, my friend. Before there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Boy, I love this part. Yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Did you understand what David was saying? He's saying, God, you made me from the very beginning. Before eternity was even, eternity passed. Where our minds, that's too high for us. David said it. Our minds can't comprehend that. God, before anything ever was, you knew me, you fashioned me, you built me, you made me exactly who I am. And listen, the only person, the voice is good, the only person that knows your heart, that truly knows you, is an almighty God. He's the only one that truly knows you. David said, God, you fashioned me. You made me. Surely you know everything about me. And being unperfect, you still had a plan for me written in your story. Written in my story, God, you still wrote it. Knowing that sin was going to come, that men was going to be sinful, that they was going to fall in the garden, and that there had to be a Savior back to you. God, in all of that, you still created us. You still made us, and you still allow us to have free will and know this. And listen, I ask you to show me today, God, how dark I am. God, show me what's inside of me. I said I wanted this year to be a brand new year. Listen, if you desire that this church year be a brand new, better year than we've ever had at New Harmony, this thing has got to happen. You've got to find out who you are. You've got to find out who you are, and only you can do that and fix it. You ask God to search you. Ask God to show you. And lastly, when you do that, you're going to have to ask God to save you. You're going to have to ask Him to save you, because you'll figure out something. You cannot save yourself, because you are a dark, dark, destitute, dirty individual that God has given grace. Listen to this. Romans 10, verse 1 through 10. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth them things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now listen to this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This, my friend, is your only hope. When you ask God to search you and show you, you're going to find out something that you may be in a place. I don't know your heart. Only you know that if you have asked Christ to save you today, that's between you and Him. I'm not trying to make you doubt it. I'm trying to make you be sure. But listen, if you have tried any of these things, any works-based religion, anything outside of the blood of Jesus Christ to make you right with God, then I want to give you a little enlightenment today. You are not right with Him. You're not right. The only righteousness you have is faith. And listen, God even has to prepare that heart. He begins softening it so you can receive the word of God as those seeds were sown. You begin receiving it. It began to take root. And you begin to receive the good news of the gospel. When we pray what David did, here God's going to show us who we are. You must see this before you can be saved. I think the reason today that we don't see people saved is nobody realizes they're lost. They don't realize they're dirty. They don't realize they have a heart that's only deceitful, that it cannot do good. Many people try to mask this situation. Many people try to put a Band-Aid upon it. They go and they feed the hungry. They work at Thanksgiving. We're coming that time of year. They'll work at a food kitchen for hours and hours. They'll go give food to the poor. They'll give money to this right's reach, to that thing. They'll give everything. And they're trying to put a Band-Aid on a hole that's there. And this hole is a God-sized hole that only He can fill. And listen, if you want that thing completely healed today, you must come to Him. And boy, it's so simple. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth Confessions made to salvation. You call upon the name of the Lord is the only hope you have. David realized this. When we come to this knowledge that is given by the grace of God, we must allow God to lead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Remember, you have a dirty heart that can do no good thing. Nothing good will ever come out of your heart. Somebody tells you to follow your heart, you say, I ain't doing it, things dirty. I follow God. I follow the Word of God. I follow the ways of God. You don't believe me, I tell you what can happen. I've had it happen in my own life. You can turn on your TV station, some of them people that's involved in this ungodly sin that we see out there, they can begin telling stuff and they can make you emotionally get to a point where you think, well, you know what? Maybe they're right. You'll get to that point where that old heart began tricking you and said, maybe that's right. Listen, when that begins to happen, you go back to the Word of God, and if that thing says it's sin in the Word of God, brother, it's sin. It don't matter what your emotions is telling you and what that little heart that everybody tells you to follow is telling you. If it don't line up with the Word of God and it don't line up to the ways of God, you better stay away from it and you better get out of it because it's sin. Sin is fun for a season. The end of it is death. Anybody tells you sin ain't fun makes the Bible a liar. It says it's fun. For grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Once you come to this knowledge, once you come to this understanding, and you that mouth confesses Jesus Christ, you confess that He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're a sinner, and you stand in need of a Savior for that dirty heart you have, I got some good news for you. That thing is everlasting. It's everlasting. John 10:29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Bible even goes says that no created being can separate us from the love of God. I began looking at that yesterday and reading in some commentaries. And the guy that wrote the commentary said that he had talked to people before that said, no, nobody can pluck you out, but you can jump out of God's hand. He said, oh, really? He said, are you not a created being? Because it plainly says in Scripture that nothing created can separate you from the love of God. And brother, you're yourself. You are a created being. You're created by a holy God who's in charge. When you give your heart and life to Him, you are secure. His hand is on you. You're in His right hand, the powerful hand. And nobody, nothing, no nowhere, no way, no how, will ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. That thing is everlasting. So ask Him to show you. Ask Him to search you first and show you. And then if you hadn't, ask Him to save you. Ask Him to save you. He's the only hope you have. It's not me. It's not the church. It's Him. It's not what work you'll do. It's not joining. It's Him. It's not, well, I'll come to Sunday school. It's Him. It's not, well, I think He's called me to preach. It's Him. There's not a single deed you can do that'll save your soul from hell except receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, and His righteousness is imputed for you. His heart is given for yours. Boy, it's a terrible trade on His part, but He's willing to do it. He'll take out that old black heart, and He'll put one in that's white as snow, whiter than white. He'll clean you up. It's everlasting. Who are you? Who are you? How is your heart? I've been guilty of saying this about people. I've said it just lately. I have to ask the Lord forgiveness. We know people that live any such a way, and then we'll be talking about them as gospeling like we do sometimes. And we'll say, you know what though? Bless him, he had a great heart. Oh, so he didn't know the Lord, but his heart was he had a great heart. No, he didn't. His heart is dirty, like mine and yours. And he needs a Savior. As Pat comes this morning, I have no idea who these messages are for. I have no idea, but listen. I do know, according to the Word of God, if you ask Him to search you, He's going to show you some things that you might not like. If He showed you this morning that you have a heart that has had this dirty, filthy things coming out of it, you're in need of a Savior. Now listen to me. I will never, ever tell anybody that once you're saved, you won't have any more sinful desires. That is a lie. That's a complete lie. You still have this physical makeup, human flesh, that you have to battle daily. But once you are saved, once you receive Christ into your life, you've been given a helpmate called the Holy Spirit. You've been given a nervous system, if you will. When something comes in your life that's not right, He will flip a switch. And you'll realize that thing. You'll know you shouldn't do it. Many times we as Christians still go ahead and do it. But you do not. If you truly belong to Him, there's not a sin you commit, I don't believe, that He don't enlighten you to. Now listen, you can come numb to Him. You can come to a point where you don't feel it anymore. And you don't realize it because you become so numb with it. But He'll show you if you'll listen. If everyone would, please stand. Ask God this morning to search you. Show you who you are. Show you every intent that's in your being. And I promise you, if you'll do this, you'll realize something. That you, my friend, if you're not dirty now, you was dirty. There was a time when you was filthy before God. You may be saved today, and I hope you are, but if not, you come down here this morning, you give your heart and life to Christ before it's everlasting too late. He is the only hope. I don't care about pride. You say, well, I've been here for 30 years, and I don't know. You better know. You better know. You may not have another chance. Ask Him to search you and show you if there be any wicked way in you. And then I promise you something. If He shows you that, He's speaking to your heart. And He will lead you in a way of everlasting. And that's salvation. And the only name that can save is Jesus Christ. It'll never fade. It'll never wash away. It'll always be there. This is your time. This is the time you get to do business. I preach this the very best that I knew how. I believe the Spirit of God has worked on hearts. It's up to you today. If you allow Him to show you, you allow Him to search you, and allow Him to lead you. This morning, don't let pride keep you away from Him. It's kept too many men, women, boys, and girls from being what God's called them to be. Has even separated them. You understand this? We went last night to the judgment journey, and they showed just a very slight depiction of hell and heaven. They can't do it justice because they're on earth. They show just a little bit of it. And boy, what I notice is I don't like fire. But listen, the fire and all of that is bad enough. But what's going to be hell about hell is an eternal separation from God. An eternal separation from what perfection is, which is God. Which when man was designed, when God made him in the image of His hands and breathed blessing to his life, he was created a perfect being. And then only through salvation in His Son, after that fall, can we be back in that same relationship. You can be made brand new. You can be made as well though Adam was when God first formed him. You can be that perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. As Pat plays, we'll open the doors of the church. If you're here and God's let you know it's the place you serve out of, we'll accept members any way the gospel authorizes. But as she plays, you still examine. Ask God to examine, to show you. And listen, if you don't come to Him today in this service, when you leave here, you go to Him. But when you're in the parking lot in your car, you run to Him. Sometime today, we might not get to brag about it and say it happened here. But what's the most important part you can make? Receiving Jesus as your Savior. And don't leave this place lost today. Don't leave off these premises not knowing.